Hello and welcome to Talking Property with CBRE, a podcast in which our team of experts, our clients, and industry specialists share insights into the way we live, work, and invest through the lens of commercial real estate. My name is Michael Elliott, and I'm responsible for the building optimization services on one of CBRE's key strategic accounts. And in this episode, we'll be taking you on a journey through Microsoft HoloLens and how the facilities management sector is being transformed through immersive communication and accelerating the timeline between fault detection and rectification. I'm pleased to welcome today Lawrence Crumpton, Microsoft's Mixed Reality Solution and Partners Lead for APAC, and from CBRE GWS, Mikkel Vidal, Head of Mixed, Augmented, and Virtual Reality Solutions. So I thought we'd kick off by telling our audience a little bit more about yourselves and, you know, your history with the HoloLens. So Lawrence, you know, why don't you start us off?
Thanks so much. Thrilled to be here. You can tell by my accent, even though I'm based in Australia, that I was born in the US. So I've been in Australia for about 21 years, of which I've spent 18 years with Microsoft. And I've been with the HoloLens mixed reality team since just before we launched version one. So I was one of the guys who helped launch here in Australia, New Zealand, China, and Japan. I am so thrilled with the work that we've been doing with HoloLens 2, getting it into industry. And I'm so thrilled to hear that you guys are using it. And actually, we met going back almost 3 years ago at the tail end of HoloLens 1, which is pretty exciting that here we are today doing the podcast. Yeah,
time flies when we're having fun, that's for sure. Yeah, great depth of experience, you know, being with Microsoft not only for that amount of time, but, you know, equally being there from the beginning of the journey with the HoloLens. So great. Well, thank you again for joining us. And yeah, excited to hear your thoughts on the topics that we have coming up. And, you know, Mikkel, I'll put the same question out to you. You know, if you could tell us a little bit about your journey, you know, and equally your journey with the HoloLens.
Great. Thanks, Michael. My journey it started almost 3 years ago. 3 years ago when, by pure accident, I came out with this great piece of technology, which right there, right at the spot, I realized this is going to be a game changer. With my background as a frontline worker, with my sort of electronic engineer background, and also my years of traveling the world, back in the years, I felt that was going to be, you know, radically changed for frontline workers. And within CBRE, it just started the journey. You know, I've been in CBRE for 7-8 years, initially from a business perspective, as part of the life science, the innovation and program manager, heading that division. And then, you know, what started a bit as a pet project almost 3 years ago with HoloLens 1. Now it's becoming to a beast program, to a point that now CBRE are looking very seriously into what we call the XRS, Extended Reality Solutions. And under the XRS, we're taking off that new solution within CBRE GWS with Microsoft HoloLens.
Well, I think you really hit the nail on the head there about a game changer, and very much, I think, a visionary for being able to see it from the origin there and how it would apply, you know, to CBRE and the sector that you're in at the time. So I'll appreciate that overview as well. I think that's excellent insights, and I'm excited to find out more about the way that you've been utilizing it within the business. So great. Well, let's jump straight into it. And the first category that I thought would be important for our listeners is around the technology. So for some of our listeners joining us today, they may not have had the opportunity to experience Microsoft HoloLens. So Lawrence, I thought, I guess, put it simply in a way, you know, what is the HoloLens and what does it allow users to do?
Great question. Look, we're really proud of this hardware device. HoloLens is a wearable, completely transparent computer. So if you think about a lot of the paradigms that you have with a computer, multiple users can use it, which is really important if you're thinking about maybe contractors versus full-time workers and allowing them to be able to securely share a device. When you think about having computers join your domain, maybe using a VPN access, the physical security of a device combined with, you know, things like BitLocker, which are present in Windows 10 Enterprise, all of that is true in HoloLens. So multiple users can use it. Shift workers are using it right now. You can enterprise deploy it. But the magic of HoloLens comes into the fact that instead of just being like an AR overlay, it's actually a spatial computer. So you can place holographic three-dimensional objects into a shared space. Other people wearing a HoloLens can actually participate with you. They can see that same information presented in the same real-world context to them. And what we're doing a lot with mixed reality now at Microsoft is we're extending it beyond just the wearable form factor. So whether you're using mobile AR, if you're using iOS or Android, if you're using HTC Vive, we launched Microsoft Mesh. You can actually share and collaborate in mixed reality across those devices. And really what makes HoloLens special is this computing power. You know, it is all hands-free, heads up, where your eyes and your hands are the input into your computing experience. We're really, really proud of it.
Yeah, that's quite an incredible, I think, development, you know, seeing how Mesh is really just come to the forefront and the capability it's going to allow our frontline team to be able to not only immerse themselves within these virtual or mixed reality spaces, but that collaboration aspect where they're able to communicate and collaborate in those environments, I think is going to be taking it to a whole new level. So yeah, great. Well, really appreciate that. You know, Mikkel, I think leading from that, you know, I know you've been utilizing the HoloLens since the release. You know, in your view, what is, you know, I guess, mixed reality and how does it apply to the world of facilities management?
So to put it in a few words, the feedback I get the most when I do train our folks, our techs and engineers, and I do, you know, recently been doing lots of HoloLens training, but the feedback I get the most from our frontline workers is, wow, this is Tony Stark from the Avengers. And for those of you old enough to remember, it's Minority Report, minus Tom Cruise. This is it. I know it's truly challenging to comprehend, but when you put the headsets and you see how you things move across with your hands, with your eyes, it's really a very unique experience. And for me, mixed reality, you know, picking on Lauren's, you know, answer there, is the next wave of computing all around spatial or ambient computing. Imagine seeing information and content fully integrated with your physical world. Ultimately, our vision within XRS and CBRE is around bridging the two worlds, and that's the physical and the digital. You know, imagine a frontline worker, you know, heading to an HVAC system, heading to a pump, heading to a data center stack or to an HPLC into a lab, provide the headsets on and, you know, be semi-immersive into the holographic world, providing all that information. More importantly, in context, in situ, while you still see through with the hands-free, this is, for us as a business, is a paradigm shift in the way we see in the future provide our service to our clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think a couple of the key points that you've touched on there is the different areas that this technology applies to, you know, how quickly you can see connecting our teams, you know, within a plant room facilities with mechanical equipment out to data centers. It's, you know, pretty incredible to think that this technology allows us to connect our subject matter experts remotely to these areas, you know, which often can be in regional facilities, especially with industrial sectors and data centers. So that's a big, big step forward for the way that we're able to efficiently manage the operations of these facilities. And I think one of the key features or functionalities of the HoloLens is around remote assist. So I think for our users, it would be important to kind of unpack, you know, what remote assist is and how it works. You know, maybe Lawrence, you can give us a little bit of an overview on that feature and functionality.
Look, Microsoft has built HoloLens. I've said it's a computer. You know, we have lots of first-party and third-party applications that allow your frontline and field service technicians to be instantly productive. One of them is Remote Assist. It's a first-party application built by Microsoft. And the idea is allowing someone who is skilled but may not be knowledgeable in a problem to be able to instantaneously contact an expert either in their organization or in a partner organization anywhere in the world in real time. One of the really cool benefits of Remote Assist is the user is using a HoloLens or a mobile AR device, so iOS or Android. The remote expert who's supporting them is using Microsoft Teams. So you have the benefit of not only the integration and the security, but all of the tools that are built inside of Teams. And the remote expert can now annotate into the physical world where those drawings and annotations and pens and arrows are persistent. They can share schematics, which will appear in front of the Remote Assist user. The Remote Assist user can manipulate them, can move them around, can pin them to surfaces. And then, they could be eyes on the problem. So imagine me looking through your eyes, seeing exactly what you see, and then helping to guide you step by step through the solution. When we think about Remote Assist, there are a couple of really cool things about it. First, it doesn't have to be a one-on-one session, right? So Remote Assist, I can have multiple experts geographically distribute it around the world, helping someone in the field. The other thing is it allows organizations to follow the sun with their expertise. So, I'm a field expert for Microsoft. I spend a lot of time on the plane. Since the pandemic, you think, how does that kind of slow you down or hamper your effectiveness? But interestingly, those 8-9 hour flights that I was taking from Australia into the region, I don't have to do anymore. And I'm using Remote Assist with my teammates in the field. So I just go problem, session, solution. And I can do all of that all day from the comfort of my chair, saving T&E and flights. So I really do wonder, once we're all vaccinated and return to normal, if Microsoft is going to put us on the plane, since we've managed to prove we're actually able to be super effective from where we are.
Yeah, that's an incredible overview. And not only I think of what Remote Assist is able to do, but putting in the context of the reality that we now live in. And it's, I think it's quite interesting to even compare what this technology is giving us the ability to achieve now, only to what we would have had the opportunity to do at the turn of the century. And even 20 years ago, we wouldn't even have the ability to see through the view of a worker at the front line to be able to support them when it matters most. So a very impressive addition, I think, to the HoloLens and the way that it can be implemented within real world and practical scenarios. And I think that kind of leads towards my next question, Mikkel. You mentioned before how this functionality has been able to deliver client solutions, through fault detection and rectification, including the case study of AstraZeneca in the pharmaceutical manufacturing sector. Are you able to highlight, some of the key business cases and outcomes the HoloLens has delivered for you and your team?
Yeah, sure. And I think, Lawrence went through very clear, but I think it's very important, and I go back to your question, Michael, but it's very important to reiterate, this is beyond live streaming. People have the concept, you put the headsets with a high-definition camera and off you go. No, this is in a complete new level. I've been myself a front worker. I know what it's like when you're in the middle of something, holding with the phone, with your shoulder and your head, or pointing with your hand, with the hands full. This is, hands-free, see-through, what I believe is the 21st century support and collaboration for our technical folks out there. When you have the layers of anchoring through arrows, scribble, the way you can share documents all in situ through the OneDrive, all holographically, and then you can share the screen, you can share videos, you can take pictures. This is a completely new level. At any point, you can have up to 7 different interaction points between the remote expert and the frontline worker, making the whole session much more collaborative than ever before, much more enriched, and a bit of fun too, which is very important. Currently, HoloLens, as the remote assist, let's be honest, is the out-of-the-box, almost solution. You can get crack on right the day, same day you got the training, and you're ready to go. You don't need any big digital transformations, IT infrastructures. It's pretty much on the spot. Yes, it requires training. Yes, it requires change management. But ultimately, the way we're looking at it is too many use cases. Use case number one is what we call connecting workers expertise, which is what Lauren said, helping our frontline workers to connect to remote experts within CBRE or vendors or all mixed. That's very key for doing repair maintenance. But the second one, which again, courtesy of the COVID-19, It's all been around using some technology. We use remote assist for repair and maintenance, but also for do visual inspections, QHSEs, health and safety, walkthroughs. The folks on the side themselves, they put the two together. So hold on, we can do X, Y, and Z with this technology. Can we do the same, but rather with a different outcome, which that is basically, can we do asset conditioning? Can we do asset surveying? Can we do health and safety inspections? Can we do walkthroughs, offices, you name it, escalations? And the answer is yes, yes, yes to all. And that is very, very powerful in the sense which that has a huge implications on productivity for remote experts, rather than traveling back and forwards, as Lawrence was alluding. That's huge. And then on that, you have a direct impact to travel costs. And then by indirectly or directly, that has a huge impact to carbon footprint and gas emissions. So we are very, very excited about. Currently, we have already a number of sites and clients already with technology developed, and the case studies and the ROI is so big, which is, you know, it's just a bit, you know, common sense. And particularly as we move into the new norm, because let's be honest, as Lawrence says, guess what? The business have figured out now that they can do pretty much the same without spending tens of thousands of dollars on traveling. So are we going to go back all traveling as we used to? Probably not. So definitely Microsoft HoloLens Slice Remote Assist with all full functionality is going to play a big part in that.
Yeah, I think there's many hours wasted, you know, flying from one region to the other. But now we do have the ability to connect each other. One of the points that you've raised there, I see as a significant benefit to, you know, especially the commercial property sector, is around being able to do those virtual inspections, not having to fly those experts all around the country. You know, even doing sustainability inspections on our account, you know, we've got our inspectors up in Brisbane and in Sydney, and they're flying over to Western Australia and down to Victoria. And this technology has the benefits of being able to connect in with those areas and with the field operators so that they can do those inspections remotely without having to generate more CO2 emissions into the atmosphere, but equally the savings for the organization to not have to fly them and the travel expenses. So I think you've highlighted some really good points there for sure. And one of the key things I think you touched on, which I thought we should unpack as well, is around the barriers to deploying the HoloLens and the key considerations for our listeners. So I thought, you know, Lawrence, what would you say are some of the biggest hurdles you've come across? And is there any common threads that organizations face when looking to deploy the HoloLens within their business?
Look, fantastic question. You know, I feel really fortunate that we are in a completely different universe on HoloLens 2 than we were on HoloLens Gen 1. For those of you who've been following mixed reality for a while, and especially HoloLens, you might remember Generation 1, we had something called Dev Kit, and then we had a commercial kit, and, you know, organizations had a mix of both and had no idea what SKUs were there. And when I think about it more broadly, so not just about HoloLens and mixed reality, I have been at Microsoft, like I said, 18 years. I have been in startups before Microsoft. I can show you any super impressive proof of concept, but it is an order of magnitude, many order of magnitudes harder to actually roll that thing out in production where you have 8-hour shifts day after day, getting business benefit from it in a sustainable way. I feel really fortunate that with HoloLens 2, we've gotten it to the point where literally, if your organization has already adopted Azure Active Directory, which if you use Microsoft Teams or Office 365, you probably already have. If your organization already has mobile device management software, Intune is what we make by Microsoft, but I know that AirWatch and MobileIron also have platforms. HoloLens becomes almost, you know, a de facto out-of-the-box solution for you. HoloLens 2 actually even supports Windows Autopilot. So I do think there are two organizational barriers. One is, how do you manage and deploy modern devices in your network? And that is just, that encompasses everything from cloud computing to sharing, right? And then the second is just around your own journey to find use cases that provide value back into your business. One of the toughest things to do when you deploy a HoloLens is kind of restrain yourself to the nuts and bolts problem. Because now all of a sudden, I say, I've just given you Harry Potter's magic wand. You can go do anything. you always want to kind of focus into the more interesting things that might not provide the nuts and bolts business benefit back. You know, Mikhail was talking about remote assist, how it's out of the box value. Often we start there because there is some remote expert analog in every organization that we work with. But by all means, it's not the ending of the journey. You know, we're doing a lot of work around, if you do a lot of work with CAD drawings or maybe BIM views or Revit views of an environment, this is a perfect device to be able to collaborate. And if you permit me, I'll share just an anecdote internally. Here, Microsoft in Australia, we are finishing off a new smart building in North Sydney. We move into it in a few months, but we've been working on this building for years. We also have been in the middle of a global pandemic for over a year, just over a year. The team, facility team that's managing this is all based in Singapore, and obviously all the stakeholders are here in Australia. So we've been using HoloLens internally to do project reviews, design reviews, floor reviews, actual walkthroughs. And the amazing part about it is we're walking through with the team in Singapore in real time, whether we're in the physical space or if I'm here in my living room, I can see the physical space and take a tour with other people. And we're integrating mixed reality, HoloLens, and the kind of cross-platform mobile AR into the actual employee orientations. So whether you're coming to visit Sydney from overseas or from another state, you'll be able to tour the building, see the facilities, see the amenities, understand where your workspace is and all the area around your workspace before you actually step foot in the building. And that is just a huge change from, you know, what we were doing literally 2 years ago in order to familiarize ourselves with new spaces.
Yeah, and that's, I think, an unreal advancement, you know, comparatively to how, you know, the traditional fit out development through to fit out phase would be conducted traditionally. And I think the common thread that I'm really picking up on there is just the context of this global communication. You know, I think it's very reasonable for, you know, ourselves to kind of think of them and not to say silos in the country that we operate or the city that we operate or the area, but, you know, thinking about it from the context of global organizations, being able to connect and communicate so easily is something that's already so active in this space, which is quite exciting. And I think that plays a lot towards, you know, the global workplace solutions, Mikhail. And, you know, from your experience, you know, what are some of the challenges an organization or clients face, you know, when implementing the HoloLens into their operations?
On corporate climate, number one is collaboration and, you know, the social distance challenge, the travel restrictions, and then on top of that, sites being locked down. So how do we keep up with this same or even better excellence level of services when we can have our subject matter experts either from CBRE or vendors coming on site to help our frontline workers, which let's not forget, throughout all this period, our frontline workers have been going to work every day while we're working at home. So how are we looking after those guys? And because, you know, historically, and I can top that as a first-hand experience, most of our digital transformations have been oriented and focused in our information workers, which is basically us folks working behind a desk, behind a PC. Our frontline workers across the board, not specifically CBRE, in terms of a truly digital transformation, it hasn't really occurred yet. Yes, we talk about IoT. Yes, we talk about tablets, mobile phones, but they still use, you know, paper clipboard and a pencil. And I truly believe, again, this technology is going to help to do that leap on taking that into the next generation of workers, which what we call within CBRE, the augmented worker. The augmented worker is the equivalent of IoT for machines in that sense, becoming smarter, better connected, and more efficient. So the augmented worker is ultimately what we want to provide to our clients to say, hey, guys, you know, understand we have these challenges. Even when we move into the new norm, hopefully soon, these challenges are going to be still there. And ultimately, you know, our clients, they're asking us for innovation. They're asking us for cost reduction. They're asking us for efficiency. They're asking us for, and now the latest, not the latest, but we almost forgot about it since the pandemic. The latest is gas emissions and CO2. We all have big targets, including CBRE has huge targets. Microsoft, all about carbon neutral in the next 5-10 years. I was just reading a stat recently from one of our clients where they identified that 80% of the CO2 emissions have been created mainly through our supply chain. So is this going to save all our problems? Of course not. It is only scraping the tip of the iceberg, but clearly it's the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, many large organizations around the world are starting to, you know, set these ambitious goals. But the challenges that they face is being able to visualize or being able to understand their full end-to-end business operations around the world and what impacts, you know, how do we measure them? How do we identify them? And I guess there's, you know, many benefits to the HoloLens in this sense. And data visualization, I think, is a big part of that. So, you know, I guess, Lawrence, more broadly, you know, how do you see the HoloLens being able to, you know, visualize global data and being able to kind of map out those types of big real world problems?
You know, it is an area where we are still discovering and learning. And as state of the art as things seem, there's still so much more to learn. I'll give you a great example. Go back 4 years ago on HoloLens 1. You talk to everyone, and the number one thing they would say to you is, I want to walk around in my Excel spreadsheet, which we all laugh now. No one wants to walk around in their Excel spreadsheet. And we've learned this. However, what it actually means isn't that data visualization isn't important. It is there is a different expectation of visual data where it's contextual and it's three-dimensional and it's part of your environment. And trying to understand that. I'll give you a super straightforward one, and then I'll share something that's a little more nuanced. You know, we were working with, I'm going to mispronounce it, but I think it's Fratome, which is the French nuclear regulatory body. And one of the things that they wanted to know is they have IoT sensors that are recording the radiation levels inside of a space, and they need to send frontline workers in, protected, of course, with Geiger counters in order to remediate dangerous areas, hotspots. And one of the things you don't want to do is stand in a hotspot and have a sensor beep after the fact to tell you that you're standing in a hotspot. So they use the first generation HoloLens in order to produce these spatial maps that were taking the real-time IoT sensors in a shared way to lay out exactly in volume where the radiation was higher, so I could, one, avoid any potential overexposure, and two, I could start to clean and remediate, and as I use my equipment physically, I could actually see, you know, the areas getting cleaner, and I could do that in a group of people. So that's a really obvious example. But if you start to kind of play that forward in terms of data visualization, there is just not only an overwhelming amount of data out there, I'd like to use the example of the Avengers. So Mikkel talked earlier about a lot of the frontline workers and CBRE are saying, hey, this is like the Tony Stark example. You know, I love the fact that in order to make these kind of special effects in these films understandable, they kind of condense it all. And then we happen to fall in behind. So if you think about the original Star Trek and the communicator, it's no different to the mobile phone that you use today. You know, the holograms that you used to see in Minority Report, it's the experience you have in the HoloLens. And one of the things that we're very used to in the Avengers is Tony Stark asking Jarvis a question about something dire and the information being displayed in a way that he can consume, manipulate, filter in real time. And I guess the parallel in HoloLens is when we start seeing implementations of user experience, so not the 2D, not taking Excel and making Excel now 3D Excel, taking a pie chart and making it a cake chart, but actually taking the functionalities of what it means to deep dive into data, to apply data, filters to data where I have this third dimension as part of it, we get closer to exactly what you see in the Avengers, where I see something and I want to uncover it. I just grab it instinctually with my hand and I move it and I uncover more about it. or a greater understanding about it. I share it literally by reaching out and handing it to you. And now, voila, it's appeared in your OneDrive. All of that is kind of part of the journey we're on and discovering what it actually means to visualize data, what it means to share data. And we have a very powerful tool in the HoloLens to kind of propel us on that journey.
I think that's a couple of fantastic examples, you know, especially even thinking of the partnership there that you have in France. I think for anyone that's working within the facilities management or health and safety sector, if you're able to utilize this to be mitigating risk at that level, then there's really nothing else that you couldn't fit into a use case for this technology in that type of environment. So I really appreciate that. I think that's an excellent overview. And it kind of leads, I think, through to one of the final points. And it'd be remiss of me not to ask both of you with your expertise around the future of this technology. So I thought you'd kind of kick off with Mikkel. How do you see the world of facilities management changing through mixed, augmented, and virtual reality?
Just a disclaimer there. I don't have a crystal ball, but I'll get my best shot. But if I may, I'll give you an idea, Lawrence, with regards to the data visualization, if I may, Michael, and not being a bit naughty going back to the initial question. But in terms of facility management, one of the critical challenges we have is asset management. We all know how poor our asset management long spreadsheets. With a technology like mixed reality in HoloLens, to be able to capture what they call 3D spatial reconstruction. Imagine getting the headsets, gazing around, create a 3D representation of your environment good enough to recognize the objects through neural networks, AI. And then from there, you know, transform that into a digital twin and manipulate that digital twin from your desktop. And then in each one of the assets, stack some of that key information like, you know, work orders, assets, you know, information history. That's huge. That's huge in the sense of in which it's going to be generating, you know, what are called, you know, the next phase of asset visualization through the 3D capture visualization and digital twins, which to a certain point you already can do with HoloLens, by the way. So, sorry, I have to plug that in because I think it's important for facilities management, one of the other main functionalities with the device.
I think that's an excellent point that you brought up there. And I see that is probably one of the key points of difference and changes in the horizon within this sector is, you know, even now we look at the facilities management role between, you know, kind of an 8 to 8 business hours where asset management and asset protection is very much a 24/7 operation. And, you know, there's significant amount of instances where we would see high flow rate alarms occurring after hours once, you know, the building's unoccupied and settling in for the evening. And it's those types of instances where I can see this technology being able to leverage our expertise maybe in another area around the world where the time zones are able to benefit, or even just the fact that they would be able to remotely interact with that space to be able to support the teams in isolating some of those incidents before they escalate, I think is a huge step forward from where we currently are and something that this technology will allow us to do. So it really, you know, really highlighted, I think, a really key point and a fundamental shift that we're going to see within the FM space in the very near future, that's for sure. Lawrence, is something that you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, which, you know, it couldn't go past is the introduction of, you know, Microsoft Mesh. And I thought it'd be great to get from your experience with the HoloLens, you know, how do you see this technology transforming the built world?
Look, it is a culmination of a multi-year, multi-decade journey we've been on at Microsoft. The HoloLens device holds a lot of promise. We've talked about a lot of scenarios here. And along the way, you know, I always think of mixed reality as not just the hardware, but the software tools and platforms that make the hardware super effective. And what we have learned and what our customers are learning are to get the maximum benefit of what this device can do, some of those problems are really, really hard. Some of those problems are engineering level problems. Some of them are designer level problems. I'll give you a fantastic example. If I have a CAD drawing, normally to view that CAD data in any meaningful way, I need a CAD workstation. So this means that I have to have a computer or a device that has the graphics horsepower to be able to render those drawings in a way that I can find them usable. And by virtue, it means that the data in a CAD drawing is locked to a specific class of device. I can't use it on a laptop. I can't use it on a mobile device. We built, as Microsoft, a streaming platform that's called Remote Render. And in practice, Remote Render allows you to take, you know, really, really complex geometry. So normally we think in 3D in terms of polygons, so triangles that make up a shape. But to take really complex geometry, you know, beyond what a mobile device can do, which would be 200,000 or 300,000 triangles, and extend that up to 1 billion triangles being rendered in real time. So now we can move away from kind of the generic or general work around size and shape, and we can get into engineering level fidelity around wiring diagrams and being able to take that entire fidelity of a CAD model and run it real time on a device, stream it real time onto a device. Well, what Microsoft Mesh does is unites all of this capability. So you think about Remote Render, being able to anchor objects spatially, whether I am in person with someone else who's using a HoloLens, or we're calling in a remote expert who's somewhere else on another side of the world, and be able to tie all of this together so that we as first party and developers as third party can unlock the incredible power, collaborative power, fidelity, you know, the HoloLens is a 4K device, the fidelity of the device in a way that the applications perform and act as expected. So we're really, really proud. You know, one of the things that has seemed to strike the imagination is this idea of holoportation. So that, you know, you and I can be co-present. Right now we're using Squadcast. We appear as four little panes on my screen. But imagine we were just sitting around a fire, like literally sitting around this fire, all four of us talking, turning to each other. We would have a similar conversation, but our experience in having that conversation would differ quite a bit. And Mesh is the platform, is the developer tool to bring that to mixed reality developers across different devices.
Your example around sitting around the fire with your friends like you're there, I think would resonate with many of us around the world who have faced you know, confined spaces, so to speak, throughout the last year. So yeah, that's a fantastic view of the way that the world is going to be able to use this technology now and also into the future. So look, with that being said, I just wanted to thank you both so much. We've been able to take a deeper dive, not only into the technology, but the apps and the way that those are applied within our business and the property sector holistically, but equally gain in a deeper understanding of the way that this technology is going to be able to change the world. And it's a very exciting time. So thank you both once again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. And thanks for listening to Talking Property with CBRE. If you enjoyed the show and want to check out more, visit cbre.com.au/talkingproperty or subscribe through Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You'll find episodes on placemaking, real estate market outlooks, disruption in the industry, and creating resilient assets, and much more. And until next time, thanks so much for listening.